know, just like us, and we get into better crowds and
sure.
better friends and stuff like that. You know, we can grow, we can get better, and you know, you can change.
Slow. You can change. It reminds me of the
Old Testament prophet that said, "Break up the fallow ground." Like you have infertile packed ground, we'll break it up. You know, soften it up. Okay, so let's walk through it then. Go over to around verse 18. You're in Matthew 13. You're around verse 18. Let's see if we are correct on where we're going with this. Who does the road soil represent? Give me an actual rendering from the passage.
Who is represented by the road soil? The road soil. What do they do first? They hear it. All of them are going to hear it because it's being proclaimed. You know, it's being spread everywhere.
They hear it. But what does it say? They do not understand it. Now you might say, well, that sounds like a mistake on the sower's part, but it isn't. It's a heart that is unwilling to understand. The gospel is not complicated. But there are those who say, I don't have time for that. I don't want to think about that. I can't even work through that right now. And they just don't want to understand it or aren't willing to try to understand it. And so while they're not ready to deal with it, what happens? He's good at this. Yeah, what did the devil do? You're approached with truth. It's truth, but you don't get it. You don't know what it means. You don't really want to know what it means right now. It's just not the right time in your life for it right now. And so you're just going to wait a little while, and then eventually you'll get back to that and you'll try to figure it out. What happens in the meantime? He's so good at this.
The devil will make it disappear.
It'll be gone. It'll be out of your heart. It will be out of your mind. It will be out of your purview. And then you'll never, ever go back to it again. There's a story like this. Who remembers a story from the book of Acts? That to me, you might say he's a little more on the rocky side. I don't know. But I would put him in category number one. He was so close. I mean, one of the best preachers in the world is preaching the gospel to this guy. Like the best seed thrower ever. Like the seeds are falling right in all the right spots. And do you remember what happened? What was his name? And what happened? Is it Acts 26? Is that right? Acts chapter 26. What happened in that text in verses 27 and 28? We actually had this that happened a couple of times, didn't we? The first one would be Acts 24 with a guy named who?
Who is the guy in Acts 24?
Festus.
All right, we have Festus and Felix in that case.
And we have Festus who put it off and didn't listen. He said, verse 25, go away for the present. Acts 24, 25. Go away for the present. And when I find time, I will summon you. Now, what's interesting is what he was being preached about was righteousness. It's Acts 24, verse 25. Righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. I don't think I've ever done a sermon on that, and it's to my shame. Righteousness is God can make you righteous, but you're going to have to exhibit some real self-control, and the outcome is judgment if you don't do this. You imagine that Paul preached that. The best that's ever been preached. And yet he said, now is not the time. Go away for the present. And what we don't have, we have 2 years later. 2 years later, verse 27, Felix comes in, Festus is out. We never see him obeying the gospel. Because the seed fell. And he let it sit there. And the Lord, or maybe the Lord, certainly the devil took it away. And the same in Acts 26, where you have Agrippa. Agrippa was being preached to, and in verse 28, he said, in a short time, you will persuade me to become a Christian. He would be a little bit different. I think he knew what was in front of him, but it just wasn't the right time. And so one of the things that we learn about the kingdom is you just spread the word. And who knows if someone's ready to hear it or not. But ultimately, their heart makes the decision every time beside the road. I would say, and you can help me with this, Josh may help. I would say this is a person who never becomes a Christian. They never confront the truth on how to obey the gospel. Josh?
In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, it's talking about deception coming, those who would perish because they did not receive the love of the truth. So so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. So people who don't have a love for the truth. This parable is coming right on the heels of his explanation of why he's teaching in parables. People who would hear, wouldn't understand, receive, but they wouldn't perceive because their heart was hardened. They didn't have a love for the truth. They didn't want the truth. And so this first, to me, this first soul goes right in with what he was just talking about. Yeah. Then he goes on to these other souls as well.
Josh, I think, too, if you track his 3.5 years of ministry, we're still in the earlier phases of that. We're working our way into the middle of it. Later in the third year, he's liable to just look at the Pharisees and say, "You're hard-headed knuckleheads, hypocrites, vipers." He didn't care because he knew it would accelerate it. Here, it is more of a coded way of saying, "This is you." And so he's addressing them in that way. But there's more than just one wrong road. That's the thing about the kingdom. The kingdom has one true, beautiful road and lots that don't get you there. So we get to our second thing. Look back at our text and we'll look in verses 20 and following. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places. This is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Now, he's a new Christian. I would argue that this is someone who did obey the gospel, or at least they're excited about the gospel. Everything's looking great. I mean, there's nothing that exhilarates a child of God more than seeing someone hear the gospel and be excited about it. So what went wrong?
I have two questions. That's the first one. What went wrong? That's going to be an easy one, probably, by the way. Anybody? Okay, had no root. What does that mean in terms of, okay, not prepared? Let's look at the text, he says, because you're right, of course. He says, immediately receives it with joy.
Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only, New American Standard, temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises, why is it arising? Because of the word. This is most likely someone who does obey the gospel. They put on Christ, they go out to tell the world about it, and it turns out the world doesn't care, or they hate them for it. It turns out that Jesus wasn't kidding when he said that this can cause division in your life between even you and the people that you love the most. You may not even have a place to sleep at night. You may die for this. He wasn't kidding when he said that. And so this is to me, well, let me ask you. I'm not going to say to me, I'm going to ask you. Who does this represent? Give me some real life, not a proper name, please. But some real life language on who we're talking about here.
Anybody? Give me a picture of what's represented, Josh.
I've been reading in Galatians lately. And the Galatian brethren, they were really being pressed by Judaizing teachers. Because they didn't want to be persecuted by the Jews. And so there's the affliction that comes because of the word.
Yeah. Massive affliction. Affliction from Romans and Jews and others. And, you know, maybe it just isn't quite like that for us. I wonder if we were in a time of greater persecution, if we would all be even better Bible students. If there would be a correlation. Like if you knew people were going to be pulling and picking and prodding and persecuting, would you constantly be deepening your roots because you knew it was coming? And what's really fascinating about that is the devil is killing it out there. He's just using a different kind of heat. A different kind of pressure. A little bit of what we'll see in the next one here. All right, let's go ahead and move through. We'll get one shot from Glenn, and then we're going to move on through. Yes, sir.
I was just going to say, I thought you asked for real life situations. We can certainly understand young people who have accepted the word. And the word kind of gets out, and their friends and everything kind of start ridiculing them for the decisions they've made. Yeah. And it makes it difficult for them to maintain Christianity that way.
Yeah, it does. And if I can talk about that just a minute, look, their roots are not going to be deep when they're young and first become Christians. But what we have is a rocky heart that isn't deepening. It's the ing word. It's the progress word that's going to keep them from falling. All right, so then we get to the thorns. Let's see if we can figure this thing out. So we have the one, verse 22, on whom the seed was sown among the thorns. This is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, I don't know how this reads to you, but it's not like the first story is someone who never became a Christian. And, well, it is. And the second one is about someone who was just a Christian for a little while. And the third one was just a Christian for a little while and he got choked out. I don't think so. I don't think so at all. You don't either. This is the progression. The first one never obeyed the gospel. The second one obeyed but didn't take it serious enough and it got taken away. I'm going to be careful next. The thorny soil situation can occur with people who sit in comfortable pews for 50 years. There's still like a little word there, but it's weak. It's unfruitful. Why is it unfruitful? What happened to this person who comes every Sunday and Wednesday? What happened to them? Unfulfilled potential. Why? How?
Their vigor is being absorbed by the things that surround them, the things that are part of their life.
All of their nutrition, he said, all of their vigor is being
absorbed by what? The big two. The worries of this world, and they are plentiful, weeds, and the deceitfulness of riches. In other words, things that can go wrong in the flesh and things that can go right. I mean, what else is left, right? There's things that can go wrong and things that can go right in this world. What else is there to think about? There's bad things happen or I get rich. Well, in between that, there's this thing called the kingdom that's bigger than both of them. And it reminds us, of course, of Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus talked about that. He said, why are you worried about this and that? I mean, even the Gentiles, even the people of the world, they know how to worry and be greedy. Like everybody can do that. The question is, who can trim that down and make sure all those nutrients get fed to the one thing that matters? Seek the kingdom and his righteousness. So I would have you know that the thorny soil can represent people who stop coming to church. It can represent people who get disfellowshipped. It can represent people who reject the truth. It can represent people who keep on coming. But they're not what God wants them to be because their attention is being absorbed in the things of this flesh. We all have to work on this one. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Serve two masters. Can't. They're always tugged and pulled.
And that's why we said earlier, and we'll talk about this one in a couple of weeks, it's like a treasure. It's the pearl of all pearls, this. It's my only priority is for me and my family to be in a relationship with Jesus among Christians living a godly life. And then lastly here, we have two things to talk about and then we're done. Lastly here, of course, verse 23, and the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word, understands it. So it's the total opposite of the first case. He hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. You know, the apples in a seed, as we sing the song very often, you know, who knows how much gets produced, but at the very least, they produce 30 times what was put into them. Like there's this production that takes place because they were able to hear it, to seek to understand it. They cleared their heart out for it, not rocky, and they cleared out their environment for it. No weeds. And because of that, it was able to do what it can do because the seed is perfect. The seed is perfect. Like Dex said, you can't blame the elements, and you certainly can't blame the seed. The seed is perfect. And it grows and it grows. And that's what we want to do, and we preach about that all the time, about growing and developing. Now go to Luke 8 as we need to close this thing down. Go to Luke 8. When I preach on this one, this parable, I usually use Luke 8. I just like the way it feeds out from verses 1 all the way through. But I just want to ask you a final question here before we wrap this thing up. If you were going to sum up this parable in one short phrase, like make one powerful, you know, we're always about the application at the end, like one powerful application phrase that this parable teaches you. Let's get a few of those. What would they be?
Put it in a, something that, it needs to be a 28 to 32 font if it's perfectly at the bottom of the screen or it just won't work. Gotta fix it. All right, give me something. What's this parable about to you? What's the point?
The powers of the word.
Power of the word.
Sowing the seed, an evangelism perspective. Is my heart, ooh, good. Is my heart ready for the kingdom? I like that. Yes?
Is my heart right with God? Who's leading singing tonight? Who's leading singing? Yeah.
It reminds me of Ezra, who prepared his heart.
Ooh.
The word of the word.
Good one. Awesome. Ezra 7:6, great reference. Someone else?
You know, none of those are right. So let me give you mine. No, those are, I mean, nobody can tell you what's right on that. That's the point of Bible study. Like, you read it and you say, this is what God is doing with me in this. I'm going to show you one from the text in just a moment. Henry, give us one more. Yeah, as long as he gets you, he never stops. In Luke 8, as we close, I marked the term hear or hearing throughout this entire parable. So you would have, like verse 8, he who has an ear, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 10, hearing they may not understand. Verse 13, when they hear, they receive it with joy. Verse 14, those who have heard. Verse 15, those who have heard. And then he says something in verse 18 that I think is just so on the money. He says verse 18 at the end of the parable. So take care how you listen. And of course your answers are that way. And from an evangelism perspective, it's your lesson for other people. But this is about how you hear the word. Some people don't want to hear it. Some people are willing to hear it a little bit, but they don't want it meddling. Rocky. Some people are willing to devote some time to hearing it, but they don't have a lot of time because there's lots of other things that demand their time. But the kingdom is for people who hunger and thirst for the word. They love it. How often do they read it? I can't remember. Anybody remember? Every single day. How couldn't I? I hunger and thirst for it. I'm careful. I just want to listen. And sometimes I read stuff and I don't understand it. And so I just like throw the Bible out and go do something else. No. Now I start studying it. Like, I don't understand that, but I'm going to do my best to understand it. And I just want to know. And Jesus says, I can produce and produce and produce and change the world with people who take care how they listen. So let's teach our families to be Bible readers, Bible students, Bible-centric, because that's the key to this parable to me, is hearing. It's all in the ear and in the heart. All right, thank you guys for your attention. We're a little over time tonight. Appreciate it. Next week, you may want to do a little work on this one, because there's a couple of interesting verses, but we will look at the parable of the wheat and the tares.